I'm Jason Seip, and this is the Indiana Libertarian Update for the week of March 13th, 2017. Later today, Chris Spangle, Greg Lenz, and a cast of Libertarian characters will assemble at Morty's Comedy Joint on the north side of Indy to celebrate the fifth anniversary of We Are Libertarians. They will also be recording the 200th episode in front of a live crowd tonight, so be sure to check it out. We've got the twisted mind behind We Are Libertarians. Chris Spangle himself will be here. He's on deck, so look forward to learning more about the We Are Libertarians podcast and general media empire. We've got that in just a few minutes, but first, let's check on libertarian news and events from around the state of Indiana. By the way, this is Greg Lenz. This is not Chris Spangle. We'll talk about Greg in just a minute. Okay. More news about civil asset forfeiture from our good friends over at from the good folks over at the Foundation for Economic Education. Brittany Hunter reports that over $400,000 of civil asset forfeiture funds were spent illegally in Indiana. Law enforcement officials are explicitly banned from spending a dime on payroll for officers. That didn't keep at least four Indiana counties from lining the pockets of their officers with cash stolen from people never charged with a crime. On Saturday night, Indiana residents set their clocks forward an hour in Indiana. Daylight savings time returned with all the rationale one has grown to expect from government. I'm not certain there's a libertarian solution to this other than leaving the clocks alone, but I sincerely hope this biannual government intrusion into Hoosier lives is destined for the dustbin of history. Now let's get into these events, and we have a lot of them lined up for this week. As we mentioned, later this evening from 7 to 10 p.m., join the folks of We Are Libertarians for their recording of their 200th episode. This is a live event. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be very funny. And it kicks off from 7 at 7 p.m. and is scheduled to run till 10, and it will be recorded as the 200th episode of We Are Libertarians. More details on that coming up in just a moment. Also, tonight, look forward to the Canna Film Festival. They'll be showing Hemp for Victory at the First Church of Cannabis. That starts at 8 p.m., and the First Church of Cannabis is on the south side of Indy. The Southern Indiana Libertarian Meetup is on Tuesday of this week, and that runs from 7 to 10 p.m. They're also going to be including the county conventions for Clark and Floyd counties. Clark and Floyd counties will be having their Libertarian county conventions, and that's from 7 to 10 p.m. on Tuesday of this week at Kingfish Restaurant in Jeffersonville, Indiana, for all you folks down in the southern part of the state. Jasper County will be having their Libertarian meeting. This is hosted by the Libertarian Party of Jasper County, and that happens on Tuesday, March 14th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. So two events happening on Tuesday of this week. That's at Boundary Waters Restaurant in DeMott, Indiana. Now, the second of our Indiana Medicinal Cannabis Town Hall meetings will be happening at the State House. This is sponsored by the people of the Higher Fellowship. That is Thursday of this week from 11:45 to 2:30. That runs at the Indiana State House. There's been some progress made this year. There's a long way to go, and they need to see people, good, responsible people, showing up and making their efforts and their voice heard for legalization in the state of Indiana. Again, Thursday of this week from 11:45 to 2:30 p.m. at the Indiana State House. The Libertarian Party of Lake County will be having their convention later this week. That's from 7 to 10 p.m. at Houlihan's in Schererville. Thursday of this week at Houlihan's in Schererville, the Libertarian Party of Lake County annual convention. So be sure to get up there and take part of one of the most dynamic Libertarian affiliates in the state of Indiana. Now, if you aren't looking for anything that involved, you could just show up for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. This happens at the Deer Park Irish Pub, and they're looking for a Libertarian contingent to march in this year's event. That runs from 4:30 to 6:30. If you want to get there early, I imagine they might have a beverage or two waiting for you this St. Patrick's Day there in beautiful Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hamilton County will be having a legalization support rally. This is also sponsored by the folks of the Higher Fellowship. That happens from noon to 3 on Saturday at the Hamilton County Government Center, and that's up in Noblesville, Indiana. The March 2017 Marion County Business Meeting, that happens on Monday the 20th, so 1 week from today. That runs from 7 p.m. till whenever they wrap up. It says 7:30 here, but look forward to run much later. If you want to get there earlier, they'll have a great menu at the Antelope Club where the Marion County meetings are held on a monthly basis. So be sure to get out there and check that one out. The March meetup is going to be happening up in Noblesville for Hamilton County Libertarians. That happens March 23rd. So next week, March 23rd at 6:30 p.m., be sure to get out and join all the other Libertarians in Hamilton County. They'll be talking about plans, talking about strategy, and also having some fun seeing the other Libertarians in the county. Mark Rutherford is going to be putting on some campaign training. This is going to be a very involved and intentional kind of event. It happens March 25th. It's going to happen at Mark's law offices on Delaware Street here in Indianapolis. Mark is intent on seeing libertarians elected to office, and this is the kind of training that can help make that a possibility for you. Monroe County Libertarian Party is going to be having their convention on March 25th. So that's Saturday of next week, March 25th, from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Tailored Fit in Bloomington. So be sure to check that out and take part of the organization that's happening there in the southern part of the state in Bloomington. Libertarian Party of Montgomery County will have their organizing convention. That happens on Monday, March 27th, so about 2 weeks from now, March 27th, at 6:30 p.m., and that happens at the Crawfordsville District Library. For those of you out in Crawfordsville, this is going to be an interesting meeting because they're trying to get a party up and running there in Montgomery County. Of course, the state convention is coming up. That's going to be happening May 5th through May 7th. If you haven't already done so, be sure to take care of your accommodations. Make sure you're enrolled, got those fees paid so you can take part of the convention. Much more to it than the business meeting, and we want to see you there for the 2017 state convention.
Now, what a treat for us this week at the Indiana Libertarian Update. We are joined by something of a modern legend in Indiana Libertarianism. And yes, he does have the, you know, he even has the ego to go with that these days. He burns a path all his own. I happen to know this guy for at least 10 years, which is scary because that means I've known him since he was probably 12. Anyway, because the guy can't be older than 22 at this point. Everybody, this is Chris Spangle, and we're very excited to have him. He is going to be celebrating the completion of the 200th episode of We Are Libertarians, his podcast with him and his partner, Greg Lenz. And I don't know partner. We can go into the exact meaning of partner here in a few minutes, the details there. Chris, tell people a little bit about yourself and your podcast, We Are Libertarians.
Yeah, Jason and I, we've known each other since the WXNT days when we worked together at the lowest rated AM station in the 50th market. We've really made
good
something
times,
of
good
ourselves,
times,
haven't we? After I left that job, I went to work for the Libertarian Party of Indiana for 4 years as the executive director. You can see right here is my Light of Liberty Award that I still hang on my wall. From service to the Libertarian Party. Hold on, I got to get the cat out of the way. Mittens might make appearances. I don't know if you've had cats on the show yet before, but Mittens is a regular on We Are Libertarians. And when I was at the Libertarian Party of Indiana, I noticed that traditional means weren't exactly reaching millennials, especially younger millennials. And we started a podcast while I was at the Libertarian Party of Indiana. I actually took out an equity loan on my car for about $1,500, and I bought the equipment in 2011, and was looking for a way to start a podcast and do more podcasting because I've been a fan since 2005. I wanted to do a podcast as soon as I learned about the concept. I've always loved radio. I've always wanted to work in radio. I'm fortunate to work in radio as my career now. But I felt like there wasn't a lot of good content out there for libertarians and especially younger libertarians. And so I started in March 8th. We launched the first episode in 2012 with Chris Galt and Creighton Harrington. And on Monday, we will celebrate, actually tomorrow, we will celebrate our 200th episode, our fifth anniversary. And it's been a long and fun ride. A lot has changed for me personally since we started in the Rupert for Governor headquarters. We built a little podcast studio there. I think the Rupert for Governor podcast may still be out there, along with the Libertarian Party of Indiana podcast, which Mike Cole started in 2009. And then I took over for a brief moment, and now you're carrying the torch with your show. And I firmly believe that podcasting is a major medium of the future. Working in traditional broadcast media now, it still reaches a ton of people. It still reaches millions and millions of people. Most people listen to the radio every day in their car. But in terms of driving an audience, in terms of building a community, podcasting is hard to be beat. And you look at somebody like Joe Rogan, who's very libertarian-leaning. Joe Rogan tweets your name, and all of a sudden, you've got tens of thousands of followers. And over the past 5 years, since leaving the Libertarian Party of Indiana, I still am involved in at various points. I went through some personal stuff and took some time away. But I am a libertarian. I'm proud to be a libertarian, a big L libertarian. And there's just not much media out there covering it. So this last year, we had Rex Bell on. We had Mark Rutherford on. We had Nick Sarwark on. We covered the chairs race and gave both candidates an in-depth hour-long interview. Both candidates that actually I thought were going to win. We extended an invitation to a couple of the others, and they didn't take us up. But podcasting seems to be one of the big ways that libertarians get their information now. There's really no other. I mean, Independent Political Report covers libertarian news. As far as the party goes, obviously you're covering right. The Indiana angle. So we're trying to cover big L news, little L news, cover it from an irreverent perspective on current events. So
irreverent is the key word there.
Irreverent is what we do. If you're over 40 and you're boring, you're probably going to hate us.
Oh, goodness. Boy, I could respond in a couple ways to that. So what is I use the word typical loosely, but what is a typical episode of We Are Libertarians going to contain?
Well, the first 20 to 30 minutes is really kind of a comedy podcast. And the philosophy that I have is I want to structure it like my radio idols. I want to structure it like Bob and Tom. I want to structure it like the Howard Stern Show, where you have characters that you connect with based on authentic personalities, authentic people that are entertaining in their real life. And we converse about what happens in our regular life and talk about what goes on. And then after that, we get started on a couple different topics generally. We just talked about the CIA leak from WikiLeaks. In another episode, we talked about Charles Murray being kicked out of and not being able to speak on a college campus. You know, and in between there, you never know what we're going to say. And I have ADD really bad. And so I try to pay attention when Greg is talking, who's one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life. And he's usually having this great conversation with one of our regular 20 co-hosts. We have about 20 co-hosts from here in Indianapolis that are libertarians from a broad perspective that come on and talk about a topic. And Greg has great conversation with them. And then I derail with some sort of stupid comment, usually.
Now, if I was really thinking about this, I should have just invited Greg to be part of our discussion today. But kind of the short term, making that happen on short notice might have been a little bit of a challenge. Who the hell is Greg Lenz?
Jason.
Okay. See, this is what I want to afford you, the unique opportunity to give a characterization of who Greg Lenz is without him having any input whatsoever. Go ahead.
Greg is a nerd. He is incredibly well-read and incredibly smart. And he is largely lately he's done most of the show prep because I'm so busy with work and building out the platform that we're building that it's hard for me to spend hours on hours reading. We put hours into the show. We put hours into the product that we produce. And I think people who don't consume it would think that we're just a bunch of class clowns. But I think if you listen, you're going to think about things in a different way. And Greg is a huge part of that. Now, Greg also Greg is one of the nicest people you will ever meet, ever. Okay, but he also, if he needs to be, will be a monster, and he will make memes of you that will make you cry.
The keyword there, and I want to latch onto that theme, the memes.
Oh, the memes.
What is up with him and memes? Is he a Picasso of our day or just a twisted mind?
He's the Thomas Nast of our day. It's hard to – we actually covered on a recent episode the amount of memes that Aaron, who is the Morgan County, I think he's chair, vice chair maybe, his cousin Tad Western and Greg Lenz have made memes that you've seen before, you just didn't know they created it. Memes are funny pictures, okay? The idea of a meme is brain software. It was created by Richard Dawson, the atheist, and his whole point was to create brain software, and then there's these viruses like religion that corrupt it. And much to his dismay, it has been adopted as funny internet pictures like Bad Luck Brian and various and Pepe the Frog and things like that. You know, the sad reality is we can do a 3-hour podcast and we'll get 6,000 people that will listen to it, and we'll put hours and hours into the content that we write on WeAreLibertarians.com, that we talk about on the podcast, the videos that we make, and thousands will consume it. But if you boil it down to a simple idea and put it in impact font over a funny text, tens of thousands of people will see the idea. And memes have become the political cartoon of our day. And you really could argue, and this is something we talk about all the time, you could argue that memes helped elect Donald Trump, and that's why the CIA has created the Memetic Warfare Center to counter some of those pro-Trump memes.
Wow. Well, I want to get back to this idea of what's going on with kind of the Trump follower and our new president in just a moment. But before we do, break it down to us for the different ways we can consume the We Are Libertarians. It's so much more than a podcast. We've been really talking about the podcast exclusively. Where else can we find it, and what can we expect from these other takes on the podcast in We Are Libertarians?
Yeah, we try to cover current events from a broad libertarian perspective. We have anarcho-capitalists, we have minarchists, we have constitutional Republicans, we have scumbag Republicans, we have Democrats on, we have mutualists like James Neese on. So we have a broad perspective, and we try to package it in a funny way, and in as many ways as possible. So my job is digital at a major entertainment brand. And so I have my learning ground is We Are Libertarians. So I test stuff there because I own it and I can't get in trouble if I test stuff out on We Are Libertarians, and then I take it and apply it to work. If you're online, you can find the We Are Libertarians brand. We're on Twitch. If you're into video games, Harry and Seth do a video game stream. If you're on YouTube, we're there. If you're on Facebook, that's where we do most of our dirty work. If you like to read long articles, we even have a podcast where I read the articles to you. So we try to be in as many different platforms as possible, because every different platform has a different audience. And so we're really trying to reach out to people under 40 in whatever way they talk and on whatever platform they exist. And you know, there's a lot of talk, especially in the Libertarian Party of Indiana, about the irreverence and the memes and the tomfoolery, but the seriousness of our show motivates a lot of people across the nation to get involved. The state chair, the state vice chair of South Carolina is a listener, for instance, and he credits us for getting him involved. Just activated another person who's now volunteering for her county party. Arguably the last 3 or 4 county parties in Indiana have been activated because they found our podcast, they got into the philosophy, they got into the politics, and then they got involved at our telling them to get involved. So
how many hours a week are you doing this?
I spend between 5 and 20 hours a week on it. It depends. I mean, I have spent since I got home Friday night about 7 o'clock, I have been working on the podcast pretty much nonstop, with the exception of a few hours I worked yesterday for a different job. So it is my hobby. It is what I do in all my free time. And it takes a tremendous amount of work to look like you're doing not much and just joking around. So I still have a to-do list of things that I'd love to do, that projects that we want to accomplish. As an entertainment brand, we're an entertainment and comedy brand first and foremost, and our playground is politics, because I think that is how you really bring people in. We're not trying to be a political talk show with some jokes. We're trying to be a comedy podcast that also talks about current events, because I think if you're people go on the internet for two things, one to laugh, and I'm not going to talk about the other thing. People are use the internet to have fun with their friends, and what we really want to accomplish is join our group. You know, listen. It's
like, oh, come on, Chris, talk about the other thing.
Yeah, the other thing.
Okay, Chris, you and I have talked a lot about this particular subject over the last few years. There's really been a disruption in a lot of our institutions, and a lot of it comes down to technology. We've seen politics. We've seen the way we work change, and it comes to our ability to communicate. But something has really changed in the last year. I've seen a change and almost this emergence of a new voice that I cannot quite follow. We have the alt-right. We have fanboys. We have just this new world that has been unleashed on me. What can you tell me? I'm not that old, am I, Chris?
No, you're very spry.
spry. Great.
I can't claim that I am part of the alt-right. I wouldn't want to be part of the alt-right. I think that there is... I spent the past few days with about 60 interns for a project that are all between 18 and 24. And it's for a media project. And the thing that I realized more than anything is that these kids, before they've graduated college, are media all-stars. They understand storytelling. They understand video production, video editing. They understand social media. And everything is humor-based. Everything is fun. And I think that a lot of what happens on the internet is just jocularity. It's when you're sitting in your high school classroom and somebody cracks a joke and you're not supposed to, you know. And I have always been the type of person to sit in the back of a room and talk when I'm not supposed to, and push limits where I'm not supposed to, and make jokes when I'm not supposed to, and find those boundaries. And it turns out I'm not special. Like, most people who are millennials are that way. There is a sort of fatalism in the millennial move, in the millennial age group. You have to understand, I turned 18 on 9-9-2001. I signed up for selective service on 9-10-2001. And on 9-11-2001, I crapped my pants. Okay, so I was 18 when 9/11 happened. It deeply affected me. It deeply shaped my politics, my religion, who I am as a person. And then we, at the same time, are being told, go to college, especially private colleges, because if you do, you will get out of college and you will make $60,000 a year. And if you don't go to college, you're only going to make $25,000. Okay, well, I better go to college. And oh, by the way, go to a private school. So we go to private schools, and then we rack up tens of thousands of debt. I know people who are paying upwards of $1,000 a month in student loan debt for jobs that they got college degrees at a state school, at IU, and never worked a day in the field that they got. They substitute teached, you know, for a few years until finally, luckily, they married someone who had money. But you know, then when we are all getting out of the career, out of college to go start our careers, you have the recession of 2006, 2007, 2008. You have the massive debt burden that we're all going to pay. The boomers are not retiring from the workforce, so there's very little upward mobility for millennials.
Yeah.
And so most millennials that I know are making below $40,000 a year, around $30,000 a year. And I think there's just you have these various hardships. You have 9/11, war, a crummy job market on our entire career so far, massive student debt that, you know, if you really look at it, somebody who has $100,000 in student loans, which is not uncommon in any way, shape, or form, they are going to finish paying that off just in time to start paying for their kids. And so it is a constant debt burden that hangs over millennials. And so there's a little bit of it's we're all screwed anyway, so we might as well have fun. And when you have people who take themselves so seriously, look at John McCain. Do you think John McCain has fun? Does Paul Ryan look like a fun person to hang out with? Donald Trump might be a little bit fun, but Hillary Clinton is not. You know, and I think that when you get into a political party, I realized this in 2013 when I worked for the Advocates for Self-Government, and I went to the the International Students for Liberty Conference in D.C., and I noticed that the majority of the kids there couldn't have cared less about a political party. They were passionate about candidates. They were passionate about libertarianism, but they didn't care about parties. And that's why I think We Are Libertarians has seen such a big growth. It's a huge growth. And you have people like Jason Stapleton, Lions of Liberty. You have these other groups that are growing, but the Libertarian Party as a whole is not. And it's because the next big generation doesn't care about institutions, because institutions are our oppressors. They're the ones who told us to rack up all this debt. They're the ones who told us to go to war when we don't want to. They're the ones who told us you're going to make this level of money and then you're not. And then when we talk about this in a real way and try to get people who are Gen Xers or boomers to understand this, you're just whiny millennials. Well, no, you're the reason that we have the policies that we have. So it's time for boomers to sit down and shut up. I had an anti-boomer moment there. I flashed.
No, I'm familiar with this. And honestly, I would argue that a lot of the patterns that you're talking about emerged for those of us as Gen Xers. There used to be this concept that you will always do better with a little bit of belief in the social contract that nobody signed, but with a little bit of belief and work, you'll do better than your parents. And that started to change for us Gen Xers. And one of the things that I really am frustrated with is the passing the buck that so many people are willing to do, and so they can have a nice friggin' sidewalk and a playground. They're creating debt that future generations are going to be crushed by. I see so many people who have young children and who have no concept of the world that those children will inherit, simply because they refuse to have any fiscal responsibility. And that's just one example. So I'm with you there, Chris. Let's see. How can we go from get this back onto some kind of cohesive track about libertarianism in the state of Indiana, so on and so forth? Over the 200 episodes, what shift have you seen? How has it changed from the first years, not so much from the technical standpoint, but how is the show different today compared to what it was when you started off 5 years ago?
I mean, the core of it still remains: find interesting personalities and tell stories through conversation. We've gotten better at that model. You know, you have something like creating Maya Axton, who is a fascinating human being, talking about her transition from male to female and self-discovery and all that stuff that goes through that. We have a podcast out there called The Cost, and the podcast The Cost is about 7 or 8 episodes talking about the real human toll of government policy. Someone who has been through the system as a victim of domestic violence, two men who have been to prison, one of them wrongly, someone whose daughter is suffering from epilepsy and CBD oil helps them, but there's no real testing to know what the right dosage is. So we tried to do that, and I think we've gotten better at that. I have changed a lot. I was married when I started the podcast. I'm no longer married. I was working for the Libertarian Party. I've had 2 jobs since then. It is, you know, that first year we had 72 listeners, and I couldn't believe that 72 people would actually want to hear what I have to say about anything. And now we're up to over 6,000 listeners. We're a national show. We're in the top 20% of all podcasts with that number.
Mm-hmm.
And our community continues to grow, and with that comes more opportunity to tell better stories, to have better conversation, to reach more people in a real way. And so that is one of the best parts about this, is getting to connect with people from people in the libertarian movement from across the nation. I'm not talking about celebritarians. I'm talking about real people who wake up, go to work every day, who are dealing with this thing and just want to know how they can make a difference. And I've been fortunate to talk to tens of people across the nation.
Dozens upon dozens.
Right, that want to make a difference. And it's so great because even though within the millennial generation there is that fatalism that probably not much is ever going to change, so we might as well make a meme about it. There still is a fighting spirit there. And if we're not going to get the job done, then we're going to darn well make sure that our kids do or their kids do. And we'll homeschool our kids. We will start farms. We will do things like start podcasts and talk about ourselves. You know, the hard work.
Well, you know, one of the things that as a person in our mid-40s that I've really come to the conclusion of over the past couple of years, speaking in terms of institutions and this type of thing, you know, you work hard, you pay taxes, and you're still going to die. So you might as well have fun along the way. And I do mean that. You know, we spend so much time in our lives, you know, that we have to have that 2.5 kids in a minivan, that we've been told that this is the path to success. At the end of the day, I don't know a lot of people who said, that I wish I would have structured my student debt loan a little differently and my life would have been right. I don't know that person. What I do know people who should have spent more time fishing. Should have spent more time on motorcycles and doing the fun things in life. So if people want to listen to an episode of We Are Libertarians, where should they go? How can they start tapping into this wonderful program?
And we talk about that very subject all the time, let me say. It is about what is important in life. It's not just about politics. And you're exactly right. I mean, libertarians are very serious people. And I think that's why sometimes we have the tendency to rub people the wrong way is because we're not serious. We're going to stand in the back of the convention and make fart jokes. The very serious people at the front don't necessarily like that. But we're well-intentioned idiots. You can find us at WeAreLibertarians.com. You can connect with me there. You can connect with Greg there. You can connect with anything and everything we do. You can, you know, donate if you're already a fan. And all that goes to the great equipment like this microphone and the ring light that I'm using and the massive board. I have a huge board, Jason, sitting to my left and all that.
Yeah, how does it stack up against this technology?
I don't know, man. Let's take a look at this. Yeah.
Oh. You show me your Behringer and I'll show you mine.
Oh, Behringer's so cute. So, yeah. We're remodeling the studio, so we're going to look like an actual real show. We do the live shows, and you know, the goal is to make something entertaining for people to share with their friends because, you know, when I worked for the Advocates, my job at the Advocates was literally, the mandate was do something after the quiz that takes Hitler to a libertarian in 2 minutes. And it was the most instructive part of my career because I learned how to communicate very big ideas very simply. And I got it down to about 20 minutes, which you can find at the Path to Libertarianism on WeAreLibertarians.com. But I learned that the majority of the libertarian movement is professors talking in professorial ways. And there just weren't a lot of young people who were talking like young people do. And so, you know, that's why you should listen to our show at WeAreLibertarians.com because you might be entertained, and if you are, please share it with a friend.
Absolutely. Now, tonight, and I do intend to have this out early in the part of the day on Monday, so hopefully we can drive a little bit of traffic there and spread the word. You're having the big gala celebration up on the north side of Indy. Tell us about that.
Shorts are welcome. You can wear shorts. It's not a, you know, it, we started doing
live
shows.
Will you be wearing shorts?
Probably. Okay. It might be.
Okay.
My shorts ripped because I've worn them. So I only have one pair of shorts, Jason, and I wear them so often I rip them. The live show
name.
Was started
torn shorts.
After the state convention last year. There's not a lot of I got an opportunity because of my friendship with the owners of Morty's to have a live show, and we got 50 people that first time. We beat, you know, two major podcasts that are national with national audiences in terms of audience, because libertarians at their core love to have fun and they love to hang out with each other. And We Are Libertarians Live is an event that you can, it's not for libertarians. Okay, it is, but it isn't. It is a fun show, a comedy show, that you can invite that friend that you've been talking to forever and tip them towards the libertarian movement by bringing them to a libertarian-based comedy show. It's hard to take somebody to a meeting. You know, you go to a meeting and it's in a library.
Everybody doesn't like to go down to the Antelope Club and hear us have our little infighting and arguments and get a little too many beers in us.
We love that stuff because we're nerds, okay? But the guy at work that you've been trying to talk into being a libertarian for 2 years, he wants to go have some beers and some tachos and meet some other libertarians that are all normal, except for James Neese, and get to know some other people and go, wow, these people are pretty normal. These people don't look like pot-smoking hippies, you know? And so the idea was started as an outreach of it. And I'm a little disappointed that the majority of the people that come are our audience. That's great. I love that. And I love those people dearly. But the mission of the event is for new people to show up. And we've had a lot of new people show up. Not many of them have come back. But many of them have reached out and said, hey, I came to a show. I can't make it this time. And I love the podcast, and I'm going to start volunteering for my county. You know, Sarah Potter is a person that is now the secretary of the Morgan County Party. She came to We Are Libertarians Live with some friends after finding the podcast, and she is an all-star. I'm talking to her about joining the Central Committee and getting more involved, and it's somebody that we met because she came with three friends to the podcast. And that's the idea, is it's just a fun way to get people down the rabbit hole. Here's the beginning, all right? You don't know where to connect. You don't know how to get involved. This is the perfect place to start.
What time?
7 p.m. at Morty's Comedy Joint. It's only $5.
Okay.
Very cheap.
Right on.
Most Morty's are 15. There is a two drink or food minimum, but it's very cheap. It's very good. The tachos are my favorite. The burritos are really good. Everybody loves the tachos, Jason.
I'm gonna have to. Just the word alone is fun to say. I might have to make the trip up there, just based on the tachos.
With nacho fixins. How can you go wrong?
Tachos.
And so we'll have at 7 p.m. we'll have Jeff and Caitlin from the Jeff Hibbert podcast open for us. Then we'll have local comedian and libertarian Miranda Barnett. She'll warm up the audience for us and introduce us. So we're gonna have some, and then we're gonna have Chris Bowers, who is one of the best comedians in the city, join us for the first hour. And then in the second hour, we're going to have the two original co-hosts on. They haven't been in the same room since they got into a fist fight. So we're going to see how this goes.
Well, that's going to be very interesting. And I'm going to make every effort to be up there on the north side of Indy on Monday at 7 o'clock. Any parting thoughts before we let you get back to your fun and relaxing Sunday evening?
Thank you for having me on, first and foremost. You have been, I don't think people realize how central to the Libertarian Party of Indiana you've been over the last 10 years, maybe. You do a great job, and you're always out there grinding for the party, and so you're a huge asset, and I think that this is great for the party. You know, the Libertarian Party is a tough organization to be in because it's hard to support candidates that don't win most of the time. But it is about keeping the flame of liberty lit. And if you didn't have the Libertarian Party, you wouldn't have had Ron Paul. You wouldn't have had the beginning of SFL and YAL. You wouldn't have the massive groundswell of libertarian thinking. And even if all those people don't join us in the Libertarian Party, the word is a real word now to people. Everybody knows what a libertarian is. And when I started in 2007 identifying as a libertarian, gosh, that's 10 years ago almost. Wow.
So you were only 12 then, man. Trust me, you were only 12.
People didn't know what a libertarian was. And then I got the job at the Libertarian Party, and they thought it was a librarian thing. And so now it is great to see how many people are talking about the word, and you know, it is
Nobody's going to get elected without considering the libertarian perspective. And I don't care whether you're running for president or dog catcher. If you aren't at least considering the libertarian perspective, you're at a disadvantage. And that wasn't the case as recently as 10 years ago.
Yep. And so what I would say finally is that the David Bowes at Cato has found that the libertarians are the biggest block of voters in the independent movement. That means we're the most powerful voters. And I think if we can just come together, you know, if people want to be in the Republican Liberty Caucus and support Rand Paul, great. You know, if people want to be in the Libertarian Party, awesome. If people don't want to vote, I don't care. As long as you're out there talking about liberty in a way that people want to join in the way that fits them. You know, not everybody has to be in the LP. Not everybody has to be in the GOP or the Democrats or vote even, you know. But everybody has a role to play. And I think that if we can really come together and start working together and respecting each other and realize that we're the most powerful voting bloc, and it's only going to get better as the millennials and Gen Z grow, we're going to be the biggest political force over the next 20 years. And I think if we realize that and stop feeling so insecure and stop worrying so much about what people think of us, then we're going to nail it. And the libertarian, the future of this country is libertarian. Future of media is libertarian. The future of society is libertarian. And that means freedom. That means liberty. And that just means a harmonious society that everybody's happy to live in. And that it is dependent on us getting along and just not taking ourselves so seriously all the time.
Right on, Chris. Well, there'll always be a seat for you here at Indiana Libertarian Update. You coming back and see us sometime?
Absolutely, whenever you ask.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And until next time, I'll see you on the...
Well, thanks so much to Chris Spangle. Great interview. We had a lot of fun doing that. Indiana Libertarian Update returns next week with a yet-to-be-determined guest. We've got a few possibilities, but a recent shift in our schedule has left the matter open at the time of the recording. If you have a news story, event, or meeting you want us to pass along, just send us a message via Facebook or drop me an email. It's jsype@sypesociety.com. The Indiana Libertarian Update is a production of SypeSociety.com, your one-man education and online content consultant. Until next time, I'm Jason Sype, and I'll see you on the computer.